Welcome to the Roots Reggae Reasoning Sessions with hosts Rasa Key Mascani, Mashariki Ramey, and Jen J. Dennis. And I have great news. One of my friends heard the show. As a matter of fact, he heard a few of the shows, and he thinks that we're one of the best podcasts going. He compared us to other podcasts, and he said we come with the real deal. So we're getting good compliments, and I'm going to be discussing some things with Mashariki and Jinjay to further our cause. So we're really having a great time with our guests and our panel. It's just a blessing to be able to sit here and speak with these great individuals who plays great reggae music. I'm in awe. So I'm going to turn it over to Miss Jen J. Miss Jen J, take over, sweetheart.
Greetings in the name of everything good. And in my house, we say, Ja,
Rastafari.
All right. Yes. How good and how pleasant it is to have our good, good brethren, Shakaman, to come and tell us how them set the standard for reggae music in Southern California, Los Angeles. He was there. So excited. Sister Mashariki.
We want to thank everyone for joining us tonight, February the 5th, as we redo the guest speaker we have today, which is Mr. Shakaman, who is not only a drummer, but he's also a healer. I've known him for many years as a drummer. I got the opportunity to share a bit of his healing, which is pretty phenomenal. And we look forward to hearing his story. And Shakaman, thank you so much for joining us. Can you just give us a little bit of information about how you got started as a drummer first? Was it something that you studied in school, or how did you get involved as being a drummer, and what age were you when you started playing, and where were you living?
Well, I have to give you it from the beginning, right?
Yes, Ma.
Yeah, my mother told me the story, right, of how drums came in my life. She said before I was born, right, A Pocomania preacher named Brother James made 3 drums for me before I was born. And they gave me them drums when I was about a year and a half going on two to play, because I was born in front of a Pocomania church. And my mother said it like this: the big drum, the bass drum, was too heavy for me. And the other drum, which is the middle drum, was still too heavy for me. And I saw the small drum, which is the rattler. And I picked up the rattler. And from then, I was playing with nobody teaching me.
Now, you mentioned Pocomania, and here in the States, we don't have Pocomania. Can you explain a little bit about what Pocomania is?
Well, in Spanish, that means little madness, right? Because in Jamaica, the Pocomania church is like...
Can you mute your mic?
Pocomania was playing years and years ago, because it's a ritual sound, you know? And it was based upon Christianity, Pocomania. It was based upon Jesus, et cetera. And the people them used to get in a spirit, getting real, real spirit, because we in the country. And when you in the country, the spirit will hit you, especially in the nighttime, because the night is dark, right? So when the spirit hit us in the Pocomania church and the way we dance and carry on, that's why they call it Pocomania, little madness. Because it was extreme from the religious way the colonialism was teaching in the colonial churches. It was not taught in the colonial churches. This was in the hills, in the bushes, you know, people who play Pocomania. It's not, you know, in the commercial side of that part, people go to them Anglican church and them Christian church. No, we in the country, we had our own thing, which is Poco, which is different from going to the Anglican church or going to any one of them church here. Because we deal with the drums, and we play the drum, and we get in a spirit. So, you kind of understand look what I'm saying?
So is it similar? Here we have a Church of God in Christ, which do not use, I don't believe, amplification music. In Pocomania and church, I would have gathered you don't use amplified music there either, right?
Well, in the 50s, we don't have no amplifier. We don't have none of them sitting there. In the 50s, you know, during the 50s and the 60s, we didn't have no amplifiers. We only had the drums and the shakers, you know?
Mm-hmm. And the voices.
No mic. No mic.
People were singing, though. People did sing, right?
Yeah, man. I remember all the songs then, man, from then, man.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I remember all the songs. I remember all the beats. I remember everything.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
And you still use the Bible as a reference of teaching in the Pocomania church?
Well, they use it, you know. They use it, you know. I stopped reading book when I was 15. I don't read no more book since I was 15. I quit reading books when I was 15 because I didn't want Babylon education. I didn't want nothing from them.
So now, as you got older, you started with the rattle. At what point did you start playing the bigger drums?
No, well, they said, oh, guess what? No, from the start, I go to Brother James' church, right? Brother James is the man. When I was born, it was breadfruit string that cut my neighbor's string. It was my knife, and it was Brother James that cut my neighbor's string from the Poker Church, you know? And from my great thing that Poker Church, I started playing, everybody get into spirit. Everybody was getting into spirit because the beat, the beat was like, it's hard to explain on the spiritual side what it does when it does to people, you know, because people get in motion and they it's like it's a healing thing, you know, because we have songs down the area we're singing healing in the barnyard, all kind of different songs, you know, in the Poco Church.
So still and, praising God, playing music,
yeah, man,
drums and singing.
Well, to me, when that at that my age, that was the purest part of me getting close to God. That was the purest part because it was when I was 1 to 7, and then I wasn't touched by no commercial. Those days we had to walk barefoot. You know, we had no shoes. We had to walk barefoot. Not night. We had no lights in the house. We had to walk with use back light or we use lamp light.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was born in 1953. And I was born in Cambridge. Way in the bush in St. James. Way in the bush. You know, and in Cambridge, when night come, you better go home because it's dark. All you can see is Peeny Wally. Beep, 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 beep. Like dark. And we don't have no light.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have no electric light.
Mm-hmm. So you were grounded. Your feet were always touching the earth.
Yeah, man, them days, them man, you walk around barefoot, you buck your toe until you're tired.
when he says Peeny Wally, he means like lady, what they call? Lady bug.
Yeah, nighttime place. Funa Peeny Wally, man.
Mm-hmm. So at what point did you learn that you were going to be seriously a drummer of what sort? I mean, I know you started with the rattle and the drums were already there and you're in the church. And what capacity did the church use your talents?
Well, I'm going to tell you a story. I will tell you a story, right? But they are Jamaica, right? And from 1 to 7, I was playing poker drum in the Pocomania Church in Cambridge, right? Now, mama them know them get sophisticated, right? And carry me to an Anglican church. Right there in Cambridge, right? Because I turned 7 now. Them sitting in my camera go to Anglican church. But yeah, what happened to me now? When them carry me to the Anglican church, me never like it. Me never want to go. Me say, mama, they don't have no drums in there. Me don't want to go back there. That's what I told her as a little kid. Because the Anglican Church, they not deal with no drum, they not deal with poker business. Them say we are mad people. So, you know, the way we praise the Almighty is different than how they praise the Almighty. They praise the Almighty in the colonial way. We wasn't praising the Almighty in the colonial way. We were praising the Almighty in the ancient spiritual way. Mm-hmm. So that's when, you know, my drum stopped playing right there. Because I wasn't going to the Pokemon church no more. They put me in the Anglican church. We used, man, listen here, man. They never have no music, no drums in it. They have organ or something, but they have no drum. I said to my mommy, they don't have no drums in there. I do not want to go back. And I'll tell you a story later on online. When I decided to leave that side of the church where my mother was taking me, I was 14 or something like that. I'll tell you the story a little bit later on. Because down in Jamaica, at that time, you have to follow what your mommy and your papa have in line for you. So after I came out of the Poker Church, I went to an Anglican church.
And when did you go back?
In the Anglican church, no more drums. I didn't play no more drums for a long, 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 long time.
So did you go back to Pokemania church?
No, because, you know, it's like people in Jamaica, you see, back in them days, you see, when you say Pokemania, I mean little madness, you know. So according to the colonial we are teaching, Pokemania is not, they don't teach Pokemania. They teach you Catholicism, Anglicanism, all them kind of Methodism, all them something there. So the Pokemania is not taught in their books.
But you must have at some point reconnected with the original church.
No. After that, life changed for me after that. It happened to me from 1 to 7. After okay. that, when I play no more poker drum, unless me go by myself and go play poker drum.
And did you do that?
Yeah, man. Me no stop from playing drum, man. Me no stop from beat. Me no stop from playing drum. Me have to find something to play, some kind of drum somewhere.
So at some point of your life, did you get recognized as a special drummer within Pokemania church establishment?
No, not really. Look, it's a family-oriented stuff, you know? That is just like, you know, it's just like a family, like you play Naya Bingi, you know, you play Naya Bingi with your brethren, you know, etc. We just play Pokemania with the people who love who into the Pokemania.
So within Pokemania, are there certain rituals or something when a person makes their transition that they use drumming that you may have been a part of?
Yeah, man. When people die, you know, they always come to me to play drums for them on the ninth night. Because the ninth night is when the spirit travels out the body and go back and forward to Zion, you know? So they always come for me to play ninth night drums, you know? Because, you know, when you play a nine-night drum, you play a different kind of drum. You play a drum till 1 o'clock at night, till the moon gone. So when you start from about 8 o'clock, you just play all night.
So how did they know that you were good at this? How did they know that?
Because the drumming moved the spirit.
But, I mean, your family had you in an Anglican church. How did the Pokemon...
No, that was way before I went to the Anglican church. Mm-hmm. That was my first 7 years, like from 2 until 7.
So at 7 years old, you were playing for the nine nights.
No, from me, I'm 2 or 3 years old. Anybody did have me play for them.
At 2 or 3 years old, they wanted you to play drums for their people when they were making their when they made their transition by the ninth night after they had transitioned.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. Everybody in the village was so surprised because nobody taught me how to play that drum, and I could play that drum like I could play rhythms with my fingers that day. Say, how this boy know all this stuff?
So this is what I'm talking about. So you weren't there, but your legacy, or they already knew who you were. Your fame was already there as a drummer, even though you had left.
Yeah, Cambridge is a little something. Which part me come from, Jubilee Crossing. I about 10 away or 20 away, no more than that.
Mm-hmm.
No more than that, 10 or 20 away. We can count the people in from two hands. It's a little small community. But remember, there's, you know, it's small communities, you know.
Right. Jubilee Crossing.
I was born in a place called Jubilee Crossing. There's not much people live around there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows everybody and everybody probably related.
No, you're talking about the olden days, man. You're talking about olden days. There was no communication, no radio, no this, no that, that. We didn't have no radio station. We didn't have no radio. We didn't know how to communicate with no other people but the people that we live with in our community.
Wow. So how long were you the ninth night drummer? How many years did you...
Well, after I left Cambridge at 7, I not play number 9 night. I played one for Kenyatta a couple years ago. That was about it.
Kenyatta?
Mm-hmm.
The drummer?
Mm-hmm.
When he died. Who was now an ancestor?
Yeah.
Okay. So when did you transition from being in Jamaica to coming here and actually playing reggae drums?
Well, you know, reggae been part of my life from the beginning. I can tell you from ska days to from rumba to ska to etc. to reggae, you know, to which part with it right now. You know, there's no song practically in the library of Jamaica that I don't really know, you know, from a kid, you know. But then now I came to America when I was 17. And when I came in Jamaica, I couldn't buy no drums. When I at that time in my life, I couldn't have no drum set. You know, you don't have no money if you go buy them something. So it's only when till I came to America, I could buy a drum set. And that's when I started sitting around. No, I gotta tell you something. That's they had a stage show in Montego Bay when I was a kid, right? I was about 12 or 13 then, and I wanted to do James Brown. I feel good. I know that. And the drummer didn't know the beat.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. And I went up there and played the drums and played it just like that. I said, this is the beat I want. That was my first time going on a drum set at a talent show. And they said, wait. I even went, did the splits and everything.
So you danced and you sang and you played.
Yeah, James man. Brown. Yeah, man.
Okay. So then your family came from Jamaica to America, or you came from Jamaica to America?
Family came straight here.
Were you in California, New York? What?
When I came to New York.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I came to New York. The Friday and the Monday I was working on 42nd Street.
Playing?
No, playing what?
I was working
in a place called Foods Plus Drugstore.
Okay.
Yeah, I was the cleanup man. Okay. And I was the stock man, etc. No, play. No, sir.
You were trying to feed yourself. You came here working.
Yeah, you went straight to work, man. You ain't got no time to talk about you're going to play. Who am I going to play music with?
Right. Got you.
You just come to America fresh. You mm-hmm. don't know nothing about nothing. Mm-hmm. I left Queens and went straight to Manhattan and got a job the Monday morning. Mm-hmm. And I worked there for 2 years.
At what point did you go back to drumming?
Well, during that time, right, I used to pass a drum set in one of them stores down there, right? So I said, I'm going to have to go, a single on drums too, you know, and them look a cheap drum. So I'm take me a little while to save up the money, I'm going to buy it. So, you know, one day I really bought, looked on the drum, and I said, wait, maybe I can buy the drums. So I buy the drums, I'm going to carry two of them, put them in my basement in Queens. I used to live in Queens. So I put that drums in my basement in Queens, and that's when I started practicing drums from that time down there in that basement. I think I was about 20-something, early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed in the basement, and I started every evening I would come home from work, I would go down there and practice. And ironically speaking, just a couple of houses down, there were some Jamaicans who could play music. Oh, man, and we didn't know until like years later on down the line, you know, because we just come in, we not, you know, not with nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so you had an opportunity to really practice, get your chops up really good, and then you met a Jamaican family that played music.
Yeah, I met Vision Walker, Constant. Mm-hmm. Constantine Vision. Walker, Vision. Yeah, he used to play Sing with the Wheelers and play with Bob Marley and play Peter Tosh. Mm-hmm. It's me who started up.
Aretha Marley's cousin.
Mm. Yeah, me and him started a band in Queens, New York, you know, named the High Performers.
Mm-hmm.
And them times, you know, me just fresh by my job, we started backing up all the artists them that come in town.
Mm-hmm.
I never go to school for no drums, sit down in no class in front of no teacher and something there.
But you had your set of drums.
Yeah, and I listen. Mm-hmm. I used to listen a lot, you know, listen. You know, you learn a lot by listening. So I learned a lot by listening and knowing all them songs from the past, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and they know I had the dexterity with my fingers, just grow the drums and play them. You ain't gotta tell me if you want it faster or you want it slower. That's all you gotta tell me. Where you want it, slower or faster? All right, here we go.
And did you start recording in New York?
You know something? I just got a recording from one of my friends. My first recording was Rita Marley's father, Leroy Anderson, and it's a song called "Back to Africa." That was my first recording. Me and Constantine Walker, Vision.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we went into a studio and recorded that song in New York, "Back to Africa," with Papa Roy, Rita Marley's father.
Mm-hmm.
I got a copy of it right here.
Wow.
I've been listening to it. I was in New York playing music for like, 10, 15 years, right?
10 or 15 years?
Yeah.
From about okay.
21, you know, to about, you know, I came in. Came to California about 40-something years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was a backing drummer.
A backup drummer.
Yeah, and I was playing with Prince Mohammed, and he had a hit called 40 Leg Dread. You know Prince Mohammed?
Prince Mohammed?
Yeah.
You said.
It sounded like Dennis Brown.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. I came to California with him, you know, and I came to Santa Cruz.
Santa Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was a nice place to land.
Yeah, I came to Santa Cruz. Yeah.
Very reggae friendly.
And
So did Prince Mohammed do "Bubbling Love" and 40 Leg Dread?
Yeah, okay. That's it. Yeah, that's the same one, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I came to California with him, and when I came to California, I was in Santa Cruz.
Uh-huh.
And I came in a church.
Really?
Yeah, and when I saw Haile Selassie I picture
mm-hmm.
in the church, I said, what the heck? I'm not leaving here. It's a church. And that's where the Rastafarian started, in a church.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yep. So Prince Mohammed was down there, and Keith Lamadu, this man, he had an idea, you know, say, you know, he wants to be the head of the Rastafarian community, et cetera, et cetera. So he started, he made his church into a Rastafarian church.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it started with me. I was down there before Maskela, and I was down there with Prince Mohammed.
So, you know, as you say these different names, we have people that don't know what that is. So if you could back it up and just give a brief explanation of what Rastafarianism is.
A brief explanation. Well, Rastafarian is the identity, black man, black God, black king, black everything. And we associate ourselves with Emperor Haile Selassie.
Yeah, Rastafari.
It take a whole day to really go through everything. So, you know,
No, as far well, as that is,
that's a different topic. That's a different topic, right?
No, here. I asked because we have people online that aren't familiar with some of the things that you're saying. So I well, may know. We
well,
may
let me just give them a quick summary. Rastafari is a way of life. It's a difference from the colonial teaching that they don't taught us. You know, the colonials, they gave us King James Version of the Bible and all the stuff. We don't work with that.
But you do read the Bible as a Rastafarian.
We have our own Bible. We got our own Bible. Mm-hmm. We're not into the colonialism the way they teach people. You know, because. Like I said, that's a heavy topic right here. A different
right?
subject.
It is.
Take a whole different reiteration.
Yes. I'm just passing through it for just a little bit of definition in case someone listening is not familiar.
Well, it's a way of life where you try to strive for righteousness within yourself, you know?
Yes, and I think They can Google now. Now we have Google to us.
Yeah, we are life. You just have way of life. I have life. Righteousness within oneself, you know.
Okay, so we have found something here. Rashiki, you want to go ahead and play it? What is it that you're going to play? So the drumming on that, how would you describe that type of drumming?
Bingy, man.
Bingy short for Naya Bingy?
Yeah, that's me doing the music and Majelly doing the horns.
Who's doing the horns?
Wow.
Majelly. He passed.
Oh, okay. Majelly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That was recorded here in the States?
Yeah, right here at Jubilee.
At your studio.
Yeah, right here where I'm at.
Okay, wonderful. So since leaving Cambridge to New York, and now we just listened to something you did in the studio that you have here in California, Los Angeles.
Yeah, Los Angeles.
All right. So how long have you had your Jubilee studios?
Well, from about 30 years now, man. I've never been without a studio. I always have a studio. From I came to California and I started making little money, first thing I did was go get a studio.
So bring us to how you got from now New York. Now you're in California. When was that journey and how did you end up in California?
I came down here with Prince Muhammad.
Okay.
Prince Muhammad.
That's right. Yeah. Party Like Dread.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he had a hit at that time, 40 Leg Dread, you know, and I'm, you know, and you know, the man in Santa Cruz liked him.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a commercial singer. He was not Rasta, you know, I'm not a Rasta singer.
Really?
So he left and I stayed. Because it was a Rasta church. It was a church with His Majesty picture inside of it. How could I come to California and see a church with Its Majesty inside of it and turn around and walk away? No, that was impossible. So I stayed there for about 2 years. You know, I was down there for about 2 years.
In beautiful Santa Cruz.
In beautiful Santa Cruz.
And the whole time you were there, you were able to play with the group and with Ross, with Prince Muhammad.
No, man, we started the Rastafarians. Me, Ily Maskell, Big Dread,
so
Ross Midas, Herb Daly, Elias Negas. Yeah, man, we started the Rastafarian, man. That's where the Rastafarian started.
You started the Rastafarians in Santa Cruz.
Yeah, in a church.
Oh.
That's where the group started.
The group started in a church. We can pull up something from the Rastafarians.
Yeah, we started in a church. That's the beautiful thing about the group. We started in a church.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a Rastafari church too. Every Sunday, church full. Every time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in man. Church used to pack up, man. Full. When your muscles start out, man, my rocks too. And you can't stop the roll and the thunder, man.
Let me see if we get Rasha Key to play this song by
Excuse me, you guys.
I already have one up.
Yeah, you have,
okay,
I was not in the frame.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. Go ahead, Rasha Key.
Y'all run and spread some love. Wave the nation until the people. And some sing. You say no bubble, me a bubble, let me not seek no trouble. So if you seek trouble, you got to get it on your double, yeah. Some seek, you got to get it on your double, yeah. Conscious black man, there's a notice on the board. Read it down, mind again, it's something trouble. For trouble is very double ugly. And when you reach on the side, it's very triple ugly. But I tell you, set me saying no bubble, me a bubble. Yeah.
That's Prince Muhammad?
Yes.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah, there's one on there that it was just showing. Let me see. Did I just send it to you? 40 Leg.
Play yeah, that. that's
play
his hit.
40 Leg.
That's his hit song. That's the one we were touring
with. I just sent that to you.
Yeah, that's the one we were touring with, 40 Leg. Yeah, bubble is how could I leave rhythm? How could I leave?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, what's the name of that rhythm then?
Yeah, that's a good question. Shaka Man.
How could I leave? Dennis Brown.
That's right.
Hey, never gonna run up a giant here, sir.
So the Ross, oh, okay. So the Rastafarians was in California and they did end up in Los Angeles. And that's when we all got a chance to meet Shakaman and Big Dread and Haley Mascal. How many people made up Rastafarians, Shaka?
Yeah, sometimes 7 or 8, how you know?
Mm-hmm. But Haley Mascal?
Two guitar, two keyboard, percussion, drum, bass.
Haley Mascal wrote and played.
Yeah, Maskell wrote his songs and I wrote my songs.
Okay.
Hey, I wrote a song. Occupation. I use His Majesty words.
Uh-huh.
On that song. It was my words. It was His Majesty words I used on that song. 1935, 3rd of October, they crossed their borders, war in Ethiopia.
Oh.
A nation of 42 million attacking a nation of 12 million, etc. It was the beginning of World War II.
Uh-huh.
Systematic extermination by barbarous means. The victims of the poisonous gas fell on the ground. Mutilation of men, women, and children. Killing of all living creatures. Showing Rastafari them future. Two features. Occupation by Mussolini, it was wrong. Invading Ethiopia, killing us one by one. I was out of frame again. Okay, sorry about that, you guys. I gotta
use
the computer next time.
Rasha Key, you ready?
To the land, so we run on ya. Some of them, no, I'm the no party leg. Me say fi stop spread propaganda upon the dread. Me say fi stop spread propaganda upon the dread. Can't the dread no have no party leg in I'm head. Send him no have no party leg in I'm head. Me say me go to the east, them I say so. Me say me go to the north, them I say so. Me say me go to the south, them I say so. Me say I run them, I run up them out from the dread. When I run them, I run up them out from the dread. For let me tell you about the music and the sound and color starting. Facts and feelings. And so me say, me say me stop. In front of propaganda, me say me stop.
Yeah, Prince Mohammed. We had a good time.
What year was that?
Hmm?
What year was that?
Why, Marsha Ricky? I'm going to tell you the truth. I can't remember what year it is right now. I'd have to go back and sit down and put time on.
Was that in the 70s?
No, that was about like 35, 40 years ago.
Oh.
Okay, so that was like in the 90s.
Yeah, that was
Rastafarian. Like the 80s or the 90s.
Yeah, that wasn't Rastafarian's first came to Santa Cruz.
And they first came to Santa Cruz in the 80s.
Yeah. Okay. I got to see what date. I can't remember what date, how much time we came in. You know, if you had told me, I would go research and find out what date.
That's okay. We're just moving along. We don't want to have like a little dead space, so we're going to keep moving along. Rasha Key, do you have anything else to play for us that I threw over there? The Rastafarian's greatest blessing?
Yeah, the greatest blessing is a child. Yeah, that's me writing.
So when you came to Southern California, was it with the Rastafarians?
Yeah, with the Rastafarians.
Rastafarians, excuse me. And that was yourself, Haley Mascal, Big Dread, and who were the other musicians?
It was just basically me and Maskell and Big Dread come down here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was nobody else but me and Maskell. We added people when we came down here from L.A.
From Santa Cruz.
Yeah, it was just me and Maskell and Big Dread came from Santa Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
And we added people as when we came into L.A. We had a show, we just add more musicians.
So as a team, I mean, I've worked with Haley Mascal. I love his harmonies. So was he good on the melodies and the music, or you all work together as a collective?
Well, Mascal is a chief musician, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's a chief musician. He knows his stuff, you know. So, you know, yes. Whether it be bass, guitar, keyboard, he can relate to it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, he's really a chief musician.
Now, he's still with us, but Big Dread is an ancestor.
Yeah, he gone.
Mm-hmm.
Rest in peace, Big Dread.
That's right. Yep, I can see him now. Stones is gone, so that right there is a whole lot of history. Stone Market.
Ooh. You know I can't last too long now, you know. Can't last too long. We got to stop in a little while and continue on.
Okay, so we're going to have to go from this. We're going to play this song, and then we'll talk about how you are now as a healer.
Okay.
Your greatest blessing is a child. So teach the children, teach them the right things to do. Down here in Bath, below, so they would reach Mount Zion in time to go. Lego Babylon conception. Now, then they will grow in the right direction. Teach them of history from the past. Oh, I and my survive through slavery. Swan Josephine, the fire culture.
Okay, I have one other something I want Rasha Key
to play. Who's that singing?
Yeah, who is that?
That's me.
Okay. You know who you sound like on there?
My voice.
Yeah?
You know who you sound like?
Who?
Jacob Miller.
Oh, thank you.
Well, yeah, that sounds similar to Jacob Miller. That's excellent.
Yeah, that's me.
That's some roots music right there, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. So I know the Rastafarians was how you got here, but at what point did you meet up with Trevi and Boom Shaka and become a part of Boom Shaka?
Well, he wasn't here in LA. I know things on time, you know, everything. People start going east, west, north, south, and this or and because I was into the music, and I had a studio. Even if I had a studio going on,
you always had a studio,
and that's where I met Trevi. You know,
mm-hmm.
He came to my studio. You know, we from then on, we kind of held on each other's hands and helped each other as we went along the way.
Mm-hmm. When Boom Shaka came into being, were the Rastafarians still in existence, or you guys had kind of like took a little break? Or
no, the Rastafarians and Boom Shaka are still in existence. No, it's just because there was nobody taking care of business,
right?
You know, and if nobody's taking care of business, you're not gonna have no work.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm. and Trevi was always taking care of business. Yes, he was always looking for work.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, he was a go-getter.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, he would go out there and get the jobs. And because he was getting the jobs, then, man,
you
know.
You were playing.
Yeah, we liked each other. So we just started playing with each other, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Their last album, I was the one who arranged their last album. All the bass lines and all them different kind of stuff.
Was that the Creation album or that another next album?
Their last album. Was it Wrestling Discrimination?
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's a Discrimination album.
Mm-hmm. Rasha Key is queuing up right now. Boom Shaka Creation.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm thinking to myself, yes, I know, there's a creator, I'm so dread.
Hey,
that was a good one.
Yeah.
So Shaka, when you played in Sunsplash, the last one was, let's see. No, the last, let's see, what was that you were just saying, Jin J? I know we played with you in Sunsplash, but I don't remember doing live gigs with you with Boom Shaka.
I didn't hear the last part.
I said, I don't remember me. I know Aziz worked with you all live with Boom Shaka. I don't remember myself singing live with Boom Shaka. I just remember studio work.
Oh, no, I played them for good amount of years, but I never saw you play.
No live gigs.
Mm-hmm. We have a new album ready.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
You have an under your name, under Shaka Man?
Boom Shaka, Boom Shaka.
Oh, Boom Shaka. What's the new one?
Yeah,
it's Ray Bass is singing most of the songs.
Oh. Is it already out? Is it on here or what?
You know something, I just showed something on Facebook called Bright Soul. It's not out yet.
Okay, it's not.
I just gave a preview a couple of days ago on Facebook. Okay.
So can you talk a little bit about how your relationship or the involvement with Boom Shaka for the years, like Creation? I know you played Creation. Did you do the recording of Creation or?
No, no. I did the newer recording of Creation. We did a new version. Mm-hmm. That Creation Day was before I even knew Trevi.
Okay. So they were in Topanga. That was before.
Yeah, I think it was before. No, before. I don't know. I don't know about that.
I know. It's
it
like
was years before. That was like long time before I met them. I didn't meet them.
Oh, so you came after Creation.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll just play one more song. I'm sure you played these live, though. You did play Creation.
Yeah, we played them live.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Them. My country. Marsha Ricky. I can't last that long now, you know.
Okay, well, let's go straight to just the healing portion of it. I'm sorry, because
maybe next time we come back to the healing part, because it's going to take us a good 10, 15, 20 minutes, and I'm getting burnt out already, you know.
That's like the most important part. You got to give us just a little bit of a scenario of how you're healing before you take off, please. Please.
All right.
So we'll just shift now. Besides you being an illustrious drummer and all the history and the groups that you played with and the fact that you've been recording.
Give me a second, sis. Sis, give me a second.
Sure.
Talk about, do you have a drink that's going to be up at Calabasas?
I can't hear you.
You have a date that you're going to be up at Calabasas Healing, because if you can't just give us your date, then we can't.
No, see, Calabasas, it's best you come by where I'm at. This is where everything started from.
All right. Well, you can give that information.
That's a venue I go to.
So can I just give a synopsis right quick of what you shared with me as a healer? I knew you as a drummer. I was surprised that people were telling me you are now a healer. I saw the testimonies on Facebook. I actually came and saw you. We discussed it, and you told me that it began when you stepped out your door and God spoke to you and said, where you stand is holy ground. And you said, well, if I'm standing on holy ground, that means wherever I am, I must be able to heal people. And your journey began at that point. Is that correct?
Yeah, about 7 years ago, you know, I was in my backyard, right? And I love my broom and I'm always cleaning up. So I was cleaning up and I went next to my wife's window. I don't hear voices. I'm a sane person. I smoke plenty of ganja and I talk to myself and I answer myself. I don't hear voices. And as I was going doing it, I heard a voice at the place where they stand is holy ground. I was shocked. And I put down my broom immediately and walked to my studio door. And the boy said, anything you do from now on, say to God be glory. Because I knew from the first instant it was a different language. I was given a different language. It's not English. There's no English language in what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Not one single word, not no English language. You know, so it started from then. And I, like I said, from the second I heard the voice, I knew exactly
what I had to do. Can you show us your healing rod that you use to heal with?
Well, I got several of them, you know.
But your Moses rod.
I got to go outside and get it.
Oh, okay.
One second.
Okay. All right. So I apologize. Shaka Man is not only an accomplished musician, writer, producer, but at this time in his life, he's actually a healer. He's been healing for 7 years. And I would have to say that coming up in the type of religion that he started with and playing drums and being just open and spiritual, I'm sure it opened up a vortex for him to be a healer. But it wasn't something that he just woke up one day and said, wow, I think I'm going to be a healer. He said, no, God spoke to him. And he stepped outside of his door where he lives. And he heard the voice of God tell him that where you stand is holy ground. And from then on, he used that to touch and heal people, starting with his neighbors. And now he's here. He actually uses, you could say it's a staff, but he says it's his rod. He gives it a name. What's the name of your rod?
Well, you know something? The rod, yeah, it's called Dambara.
Okay.
It runs away all evil. You know, it takes away your pain and your suffering.
So what I experienced was he actually had a healing rod that he puts, it has life in it. It's been burning. It does have life energy in it, which gives it the ability to heal. And from
I had given you a different rod. Is there some smaller rods?
Yes.
See what happened? When I burn a rod, right, I put up my DNA inside of it. If I put my DNA inside of it, that DNA travels all over the place. You could be in Africa and you call me on the phone, your pain gonna be gone. It might DNA travel.
So he spoke of a gentleman, Mr. Guillermo, who I believe is a neighbor, who had suffered maybe a paralyzed or stroke or some sort, but he wasn't able to walk. He was able to get him to walk. Is that correct? His feet were no longer stiff.
You know something? When I saw him today,
you told me that.
Yeah, his hands. He's paralyzed. His hands is like this. Mm-hmm. I still have his testimony. I haven't posted it yet. He couldn't move his hands, and his whole one side of his body and his foot was stiff like a rock. Stiff like this. This all this up light on my hand is stiff like this.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't bend it. And one day I went over his house. Akua came with me. You could ask Akua. And that's when I really took his body, and this is a piece of iron. And the iron bent, started bending. You should have heard the family screaming out. Because, you know, he's paralyzed. You know, and this, when you're paralyzed, your body is stiff like a rock.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I saw him this morning. I gave if I go on the streets, uh-huh, and I give him a treatment.
Uh-huh. So what I personally experienced when I came to you, noticed that I had looked like I had pain in my knee. I gained a little weight. My feet were a little swollen. And you said, sit down right here. And then I stood up and you used the healing rod and showed me how I could use it to wipe down my knee and mm-hmm. stop my foot. And yep. I will have to say that in the time that I did that with you, it was painful. And then once I finished doing that, it was maybe, you know, 5 or 10 minutes. The pain did subside. I'm used to knowing that your body has to move. You got to move. You have to do some type of bending, exercise, stretching, breathing in order to make sure your joints are lubricated and can work on a regular basis. So I had that experience, but mine was just a little thing compared to the other people that you have been able to heal over these 7 years that you've been doing this. People have been coming to you from many different places. And I believe not only do you do it in your backyard, but you have a place somewhere else where every now and then you could take people. And I know that you said there you have something coming up in Calabasas soon, but you would like to talk to people first before you give that type of information out. So did you want me to give your number or something, how people get in touch with you or your Facebook page or anything?
Yeah, man. You know, I got two hernia testimony.
Okay.
Where the hernia just disappeared immediately.
So if someone wants to get in touch with you, how should they get in touch with you for healing?
323-810-2381.
So once again, hold on just a second.
Shakaman1@icloud.com.
So that's Shakaman is 323-810-2381. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Hey, and I even have people testifying about their eyes. What happened to their eyes and I when they come by.
And if they want to just send you, is there a Facebook page they can go to and send you a message that way? Can they go to your Facebook page? They can send
it to, yeah, my name, Shakaman, S-H-A-K-A-M-A-N.
And that's two words or one word? Shakaman two words. Is two words. So just put in Shakaman, two words, S-H-A-K-A, next word, M-A-N. And if they're in Facebook, you will come up and they can send you a message on Facebook if they are interested in getting in touch with you and having you heal them with some of the things that they're going through. Is that correct?
Yeah, man.
And when you said you have something coming up in Calabasas, you would like for them to contact you. You don't want to give that information. So you would prefer if they reach you through Facebook or your telephone number if they're interested in a healing at the Calabasas, which is a nice retreat where there's water and other things and it's outdoors, because you do work outdoors, correct?
Yeah, most of the stuff I've done is in the streets.
Yes. Okay. All right. Well, we understand. Is there anything you would like to leave us with at this time before you take off?
Well, you see, the healing strength is a gift from the Almighty Creator from the beginning of time. Seeing? I never one day in my life prayed for anything like this.
Mm-hmm.
Never one day in my life. Mm-hmm. But the second it came unto Iman, I knew what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But see, when the Almighty Creator is working with you, right, it takes time. Because with what he has given Iman, if it was given Iman in one day, 1 year, I wouldn't overstand it. 2 years, it's been 7 years now. The Almighty Creator, who they say God, Allah, etc., Rastafari, been molding my character. And everybody around me is like, you know, it's a transformation. I'm not the same Shakaman, you know.
We're going to have to bring you back another time. We really appreciate you spending the time with us. I know it was a little hairy, but we do appreciate the time that you give us. Much blessings to you and your family. And we want to hear, you said you have a new rendition of music, I think that was Boom Shaka. So maybe we can come back. You can come back when that's out and we can have further discussion about that. And maybe is Ray, is he also, I would imagine Ray is also on the on this project?
Yeah, he's the main singer.
Okay. So yeah, we definitely want you all to come back when that's released and push that album so that more people can know about you as a drummer. Of course, Boom Shaka as a group, because that was some beautiful music. And unfortunately, Trevi is an ancestor, but we definitely miss him dearly. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, and guess what? I would like to thank you all for doing this, because, you know, I got to get this message out here somehow, somewhere, somehow,
okay,
sometime.
So you're going to come back. It's so much that maybe we can do just a healing one by itself and not try to combine the music and the healing
that's
together.
That's what I'm saying. That's
okay,
what I'm saying.
All right.
I feel more comfortable like that, you know.
Okay. All right, then.
Just one or two topics and then, you know.
We're still experimental stages, so we apologize.
Yeah, that's right.
But and I appreciate
your patience with me.
Yes.
I wish you all peace and prosperity.
Big love.
And may the blessings of the Almighty I stay with you all 24/7.
And
may guide
always,
your footsteps coming in and coming out.
And as you say, to God be the glory.
God
can I
be
say
the
something,
glory.
Please?
Yes.
Ginger.
Yes.
Love you.
I want to say to my brethren and my sister, Rashaki and Mashriki, already know where Boom Shaka lives. So we get together and go give him a check. the three of you, you know?
Yeah, man, come see me, man. Because guess what?
Yeah.
I could show you everything from the beginning of times to where we at now and to where we're going, and I don't use AI. I have over 800,000 pictures, photos, 7,000 videos I gotta go through because I work with the light, and the light reveals everything to me as far as you can see. You know what? Let me explain it to you. My life is like this. You know when you dream at night, mm-hmm. and you wake up in the morning and you try to explain your dream to someone? Mm-hmm. No, when I dream at night and I wake up, I see the pictures of my dream under my pillow. I find the pictures of my dreams under my pillow so I can show it to people and say, hey, this is what I am dreaming about.
So we definitely have to have you come back and only talk about that part of the healing, the pictures in your mind that show up, and you can show, if you like, those
yes,
pictures
sure,
that you're
speaking of. Yes, sure, I can show you 100%
of.
Proof. Any spirit okay. you want to see, you any spirit you want to see from
okay.
the Bible, from the mm-hmm. Bible, even from the Bible.
So we look forward to that.
Yep.
We definitely look forward to that.
Hey, remember one thing. You see, I'm getting interested now in this thing, what's going on. When the Almighty show himself to us, he show himself as spirit. Mm-hmm. He doesn't show himself as physical flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Shows himself as a spirit. And everybody in the world show physical flesh. No, Jubilee will show you the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you will see the spirit. And the spirit will talk to you.
Yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, alrighty.
So thank you so much. One love to you. And we'll discuss the coming back together just for the speaking on the healing portion, okay?
Yeah, man. Jah love, man. You know something? I put that in front of my life. It's in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, it's straight in front of me. It's right in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
Music take backstage. The healing take front stage.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Shaka. So
all
we
right.
can all come visit you so we can all get a healing and we can give our testimonies when you're talking.
God bless us, man.
God bless
that's
you.
Right.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And let's see, we did it in less than 3 hours.
It's hard to get me to stay that long.
No, you did good. It's been almost an hour and a half, almost. So that's pretty good.
Well, all right.
Work it quicker, too. So at this point, does anybody have any questions, want to discuss anything? Talk about Sly Dunbar?
Best I know.
Mm-hmm.
I never met him yet. But the best I know.
Yeah, that's right. All right. So thank you, everyone, for another nice journey with Reggae Roots Reggae Reasoning Sessions. And we will be letting you know when our next session is coming up. I think, Jinjay, we have a date.
Well, it's either the 19th or the 26th. It depends on what date he wants.
And we're talking about this month.
Dates. Those are the two dates that I offered to him. So
this is for the month of February. And
mm-hmm.
the artist that we're speaking of is?
That guy.
And he plays with?
He's a singer and he mm-hmm. plays with everybody.
Okay. All right. So everyone.
That guy.
Yeah,
right?
Man.
Yes.
D2 Apostle.
D2 Apostle, yeah.
Yeah,
oh, hey, one love to each everyone here. I'm out.
Okay.
All right, Rastafari.
Rastafari.
Give thanks here.
Give thanks. That's right.
Thank you, brother.
Okay.
Yeah, just hit the red
give
button.
Thanks.
Ooh, da, 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 da. Sessions with host CMJ, Mashurikan and Rasa Key.